Those of you that are wondering, I had chiropractic work done in one of the places in the middle of my back. When it came in place, it made a big noise. And so there's that whole area is tender. So I've been sleeping on a chair for the last couple nights. Wasn't even sure that I could walk here, but here I am, and hanging in there. And after that prayer, I know that this is going to be just all done, all done. Thank you, Lord. I wanted to continue the theme for these three services, the first one last week, the middle one, and the one next week. And I quoted a prayer that we make here, Ha'elohim Asher, which comes from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And verse 2 in particular says, but now in the end of days, He has spoken to us in a son. I know that it says in the normal translations by his son. But to make the point, he has spoken to us in a son. The fact that the son came implies there's a father. The unrevealed father, you know, was immediately obvious. Wait a minute, you're talking to your father. Is your father Yeshua? Is your father Yud Hey Vav Hey? Is your father Adonai? Which obvious the answer is yes. But how many times did in the Torah or any place else was he referred to as father? But he was father from the beginning. He was with, you know, John said, Yeshua was with Adonai in the beginning. And, you know, it's a beautiful, eloquent introduction to his first chapter. So Yeshua was there in the beginning. The Holy Spirit was there in the beginning too. What is the beginning and when is the beginning? That's way bigger than I can even fathom. But they were there. And even though the Tanakh has a tremendous amount of revelation, it doesn't really say much. It only implies it here and there, but it doesn't make a big point. Yeshua came to, it was expected that the Messiah would come and reveal things that were from the throne. In one of the revelations, perhaps the greatest revelation, what Yeshua came to do was to say, I'm the son and my father. And he talks about his father like they're together all the time. He talks about his father in a way that it's amazing. Obviously, he's all about his dad. Okay? He has spoken to us in his son, Messiah Yeshua, his son. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 27, says, "In my Father has handed over everything to me. Indeed, no one fully knows the Son except the Father, okay, and to whom the Son wishes to reveal him." So no one really knows these things until the Son came and chose to make that. It's interesting that's in a lot of this begins in John chapter 14. You recall John chapter 13 is the Passover, the last Passover's, the Last Supper, the last Seder, so to speak. I say so to speak because the Seder per se didn't really start until after Yeshua, after the temple was destroyed, etc. So it wasn't really called a Seder, and there were no Haggadahs. But they followed what was in Exodus 12. In Exodus 12, it details almost everything that comes that's rehearsed in a Haggadah to do a Seder is based on Exodus 12. So you don't really need a Haggadah. You can just go to Exodus 12 and do it. We did that this year. We didn't use a Haggadah. We just used the scripture. Okay? And it's not surprisingly, it is amazingly the same. Okay? So, but the son chose to do that. And that's really talked about in John 14. You know, when he says to his disciples, you know, I've come to basically my father, where my father and I are, you will be there also. And I go to the Father, and you know where I'm going. And the youngest apostle, he was probably 15 to 17 years old, said, excuse me, we don't know where you're going. show us the Father, because we don't really know. And Yeshua asked, retorted back, said, Philip, you've been around me a while. You haven't figured this out? And goes on and talks about how important it is to know the Father. Yeshua is defined in Christian theology, this is from last week's message, as the ultimate revelation of God. Ultimate meaning the final revelation of God and the completeness, the idea of the number seven, that it's the completeness. And the final disclosure of the nature, will, and purpose of his Father, of Adonai. But I have an alternative, and it's related to this, is that the ultimate revelation is not Yeshua per se, okay? He is, but he also came to disclose that Yah Adonai, our Elohim, is Abba, Father. He also came to make that known, in that it's not just his Father, but he said to the disciples, your Father, which is in heaven. Okay, in fact, the prayer. Why is the Lord's Prayer so different? It is not like any other prayer in the Tanakh. Okay? The prayer that God Himself wrote is number 6. Well, here's the prayer that the Son of God wrote. And in the prayer that the Son of God wrote, which is called the Lord's Prayer, it begins by saying, Abba, Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, you know, hallowed be thy name, and so on. And so the first thing that he's pointing us to, the disciples heard that prayer in Matthew 6. We're right here, you know, about Matthew 26, 27, beyond Matthew 24, which also happens at this time. And Yeshua is talking about his Father. And, okay, so he's about to be handed over. It's about to all begin. Time's short. There's only a little bit of time left. And in that little bit of time left, he chose, sovereignly chose, that the thing that was most important for the disciples to know, okay, was that we have a Father. How important is that? Well, in the days of Leave It to Beaver, there were fathers were present in the home. Today, fathers are absent. Many people have been. You know, part of a second marriage, and the person that marries into that family doesn't have the same connection with the children. I dare say that's very common. It certainly was happened to Marilyn. Okay? It happened to her. She doesn't know who her father was because her mom doesn't remember. So she doesn't even know. She knows. You know, you look at her and you go, you're different than the rest of your brothers and sisters. And I think it's a good thing, you know, that she's different than everybody else. Unique. That recipe was used once and it's gone. There's not another one like her. So she didn't have a father. My father died when I was 7. I was very, very young. And so from that point on, I didn't have a father. And it was difficult because the other kids in the school and all those things, and all that was left in my house was my mom and 2 sisters. So blessed art thou amongst women. Okay? They none of them knew things that men know. They don't know how to do any of that stuff. So how could she teach me anything? Besides, she worked. And she had to take a bus and change buses twice and carry a baby. And that was an hour plus every day. And then come back and go to another pharmacy and work until they close at 11. So she would leave before 6 something and wouldn't return until between 11 and 12. So when we got home from school, there was not much in the refrigerator anyway, but there was nothing. So I became the cook. I was the cook. That's all my sisters know is my cooking. Actually, my mom only knew my cooking and then learned to do a couple things that she became really good at. But, you know, we get in family reunions and they talk about, you know, you talk about, well, grandma's thing and mom's thing. Well, and they talk about me. Your thing, your steak, your this, that, and the other. That's what my sisters all knew about. Okay? My dad died because of complications and embolism. It's really sad. It's a sad story, but he was innocent of that. And so who am I to be angry at? But the fact was that as a little kid, I buried that. And I didn't talk about him ever again. I forgot on purpose, really, kind of. His birthday, all those things, I just didn't. It's not that I had anything against him, but it wasn't easy for me to be mama's boy and everything else that they called me. It gets worse. In our society, there's people that have had stepfathers, and they haven't been what they're supposed to be. So when to think about fatherhood for our society is actually very painful. It's in most cases, there is no father. There is no husband. So many of the ladies that I've had the pleasure to know, you know, were single ladies. That wasn't their choice. Okay? They were either abandoned or abandoned for another woman or lots of those cases. Lots and lots of those cases. So there, you know, in our society, in our world, men are kind of absent. They're not present in congregations that I led congregations in the Christian world. Okay, from 1980, I was in the Christian world from 80 until 92, 93. So that's a few years. Okay, and I pastored in the Christian world. And You know, to find a man was hard to find. And usually there was a man present. He was the elder, you know, the shamash, the deacon. There were not too many men that attended. And I always took notice that and talked about it. So our society, to be truthful, is kind of a fatherless society. There is no father figure. How are they going to learn about fathers? Well, you got to go get an old TV show called My Three Sons or something like that, right? There's not too many models of fatherhood. So how appropriate that the ultimate revelation of God, that Yud Heh Vav Heh, the God of the Torah, the God of the children of Israel, Elohei Abraham, Elohei Yitzhak, Elohei Yaakov, is also our father. And it's so important for ladies. I think that that's an important area, that there is a deficit. It's important for us boys too, men also. As I shared with you, I was called effeminate because I didn't know how to, you know, how's a man go, huh? There was no instance of any huh in my house. That would have been followed by a slap in the face kind of thing. So I didn't know how to be a man, the correct kind of man. The Hebrews passage that we just read establishes that while the Almighty had spoken many times in various ways through the prophets, okay, all of it is revealing, and he's revealing his son. You know, he's revealing the Messiah. But they didn't call him son, they call him Messiah. The Mashiach is coming. They didn't say, well, the son is coming. No, the Mashiach is coming. And once the Mashiach gets here, he starts talking about being a son. And he's like, huh? He has finally spoken through his son. That's what the Hebrews passage says, who is the full radiance of God's glory and the flawless manifestation of his reality. That means the exact representation of his being. The unrevealed nature of the Almighty, Yud Heh Vav Heh, Elohei Abraham, Elohei Isaac, Elohei Yaakov, is now made known to man. And Yeshua made sure that that was a point of emphasis before he left. You need to know. Look, of all the things you could talk about, he spends these last hours. You need to know about the Father. The sadness is that we don't really, in Christianity, haven't really embraced that totally. A little bit here and there, but not totally. He's not only Yah Adonai or Elohim, he's also Yah Adonai Abba, Father. Okay? That is what I really want to focus on from the Holy Spirit on this month, culminating next Saturday, the day before Father's Day. And we're going to have Father's Day for him. Okay? How about that? That's what we're going to do next week. I don't know how the service will look like. I don't have a message yet or any of those things, but that's what I know. Why would Yeshua want to reveal the Father? There has to be some reason, okay? And I believe that the best way to explain that reason is not to get into endless discussions about theology or any of those things, but rather, is there any advantage? There must be an advantage to know the Father. There must be an advantage. That advantage was really important. The Holy Spirit was also being revealed about the same time by Yeshua. And he talked about the Holy Spirit, but he also talked about the Father. They both must be important, really important. Why? Then I think that I found some areas to magnify and let you know that there are some benefits to you and I by knowing the Father. The first benefit is that we have identity. Modern man has a real problem with identity. It is significant. One of the most successful books and television series in the United States of all time was something called Roots. The story of an African-American looking for the place he had come from. Both scripture and psychology agree that a person cannot fully answer the question, who am I, without knowing who his or her father is. And then what happens if you don't have one? Like she, there's not even an image, nothing. It's not recorded anywhere. Her mom was 15 years old, 15-year-old girl in rural Georgia who defied everything because they, even back then, 1951, there was clandestine abortions. You know that she was asked. I asked her one time. And she answers and said, I just couldn't do it. So she went ahead and you know, a 17-year-old having a 15-year-old having a baby. Yeah, 15. Really? Well, she was going to turn 16 in May, but in March she gave birth. And did the family even want it? All those things, questions that I've gotten some answers to those questions over the years. I used to say, Mary, you were so brave. Thank you, because of your bravery, I have her. And because I have her, I also have the Lord. Because it was the Lord you served to bring me to him. I owe everything to that. And I told her mom more than once, thank you for what you did. She said, well, I didn't feel very brave or anything. I just did that because that's what seemed the right thing to do. Our contemporary society is suffering an identity crisis. Why is that? Because in the last several generations, there's so many that are fatherless. They're widows, but nobody died, and they've become widows. They've been abandoned to become widows. The modern-day widow, no husband. And certainly, the husband didn't take the kids with him when he left. He left them for her. Multitudes of in the United States are rootless. They don't have any sense of belonging. Our answer to that identity crisis is to bring men and women into a direct personal relationship with Yeshua and his Father. You cannot just have a relationship with Yeshua and ignore the Father, because he didn't ignore the Father. If you see me, you see the Father. He's pointing to the Father continually. We get stuck in Yeshua and don't go beyond that. But we got to go beyond that. Because we now have a relationship with a Father that is the King of the universe. I know Yeshua is going to be King of the universe, okay? But Abba, Father, he's the king of the universe before everything began. In Judaism, they say that they try to figure out what would Adam say when he opened his eyes and sees standing with the Almighty. What did he say? And so they come up with ideas and said, they quote Exodus 15. Adonai Imloch Neolam Baed. The Lord will be king forever and ever and ever. The rabbis say that is a particularly good choice because it acknowledges Adam is the sovereign of the creation. You understand what I'm saying? He's the one in charge. But the first words out of his mouth are, you are going to be king forever and ever. So he deferred what he had been his position and gave it to the king of the universe. People who truly know Yah Adonai as Father no longer have an identity problem. And that should be us. They know who they are. Who are they? Who are we? We're the children of the Almighty. We are the children of the Almighty. Okay, we're his kids because he's our father. That their father created the universe. Their father loves them and cares for them and sent his son to bring us to him. They belong to the very best family of the universe. The family of God. Number two, self-worth. Many people I have talked with have a great problem in not appreciating themselves sufficiently. Self-worth is a major problem of our society. They either have too low a picture of themselves, which causes them many spiritual and emotional agonies. The scripture, on the other hand, says, see what love the Father has lavished on us in letting us be called God's children. 1 John 3, 1. For that is what we are. We're God's children. We're the Almighty's children. Once we comprehend that we are his children and that the Almighty loves us intimately and personally, and that he's interested in us, and that he's never too busy for us, and that he desires a direct and personal relationship with us, we discover self-worth. It comes. You don't have to go to a shrink. Just receive Yeshua as your Savior, and his dad comes with him. What a great extra. I mean, this is extra good. Okay? This can really transform our lives. Number three, awareness of a home. Okay. One, you should spend time talking about that. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So where I am, you may be also. Don't let the enemy say, oh, that was just for the apostles. He had a lot more children than the 11, you know, the 11 that survived there. He has all of us as children. You know, we have a home with him. So I used to say, when I die, let my tombstone say, going home. This is what we all should be looking forward to. When we trust completely in him, we'll be looking forward to that. I find that the closer I get to it, the less I'm looking forward to it. I'm telling you the truth that happens. The older you get, the less ready you are. We should be just so completely trusting that we're going to go be with our Father. But we don't. Think about the poor beggar who lay outside the rich man's door. That was in Yeshua's parable. When he died, he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. That's not made up stuff, okay? That's not make-believe. That's not a story. That's a real statement made by Yeshua. Okay? So surely one angel is all you need. Think about it this way. Surely you only need one. Because they're super powerful. They're more powerful than Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? They're more powerful than Trump and more powerful than the UFC or whatever it is. So one angel would have been sufficient, but he sent an escort of angels. What? That's not just get the package, Amazon, and bring it to the door. But it's a whole fleet, you know, of, that's the kind of thing that is, we call that a royal welcome. Okay? In a royal welcome to Abraham's bosom. It should be like that for you and I. When we die, we're going to get a royal welcome. And a royal, you know, we worry more about, well, I wonder if he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, and that kind of thing, okay? At some point, I got to trust that I'm doing the right thing or change something, okay? I'm going to tell you something. He has an escort of angels for every one of us. People are, when they retire, they're looking forward to Social Security. It's not very secure, as my mom used to say. Not very secure. It's not very much, and it's not very secure. It's gotten a little better, okay? So some of you looking into retirement are looking, going to go to the Social Security office and see how much money that you gave them, are they going to give you back? That's the deal there. You already gave them the money. They took it out. They didn't ask you if you wanted to contribute. They just took it out. So, question, what do we view as the origin of the universe? Are you caught up in this Big Bang theory thing? Well, if so, who knows what kind of bang might come next and blot us all out of here? Is a bang just something inanimate that operates without feelings or without purpose? Or is it a father? For us, it should be the answer is it is a father. You will be a different person the moment you grasp the fact that behind all life is the fatherhood of the Almighty. It'll change everything. Picture a child securely, held securely in the father's arms with his little face pressed against his daddy's shoulder. There may be confusion and distress all around, and the world may seem to be falling apart, but that child's at peace. Those of you that have had babies, certainly all you moms understand that, but it turns out that if you were around a baby, you understand that too. Because you could get that child and put it close to you, and he would just settle down. Secure in the Father's arms. We too are held securely in the arms of our Father, Abba. Yeshua has assured us that the Father is greater than all that surrounds us, and that no one is able to snatch us out of his hand. He shared that with the apostles in John 14. So this is what he said. Have no fear, little flock, for your Father has resolved to give you the kingdom. That's in Luke 12:32. Kol Simcha may be one of those little flocks. Look around. Kol Simcha is a little flock. And we may be surrounded by all kind of beasts. you know, big churches around, etc. But our Father has committed himself to give us also the kingdom. Just because they have big churches and all that, they're not the only ones who are going to get the kingdom. We are too. All right? No power of the universe can take it from us. The last thing is motivation. Motivation for service. Rabbi Paul warns us as servants of the Almighty. I'll sing it to you. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, which is selfish ambition and conceit. That's Philippians 2, verses 1 through 2 and 3. Over the years, I have observed that one persistent, pervasive problem in the believing community is that personal ambition kind of takes front and center. It manifests itself in competition. Oh, I got the bigger church, or I got bigger pews, or whatever. Let me add that I observed this in my own life. I'm not talking about somebody else, I'm talking about me. Okay? And the mindset that, you know, is it okay to be small? Am I doing something wrong? Shouldn't people be so thirsty for the truth that the pews would be full? I actually believe the statement that said, build it and they'll come, right? So we've been here almost eight years, something like that. They haven't come yet. All right. Here's the thing. We often make the mistake of equating security with success. They both start with an S. If one builds the biggest building or holds the largest meeting or gets the most name in a mailing list, that surely is secure and successful. But that's a delusion. The fact is that the more we aim at success, the less secure we become. We are threatened continually by the possibility that someone else may build a bigger synagogue, hold a larger meeting, or get more names on the mailing list. But that's not the pattern. Here's the pattern in Yeshua, who said, quote, "The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that praise him." John 8:29. And, of course, unless Adonai builds a house, its builders work in vain. And also advertising the newspaper in Gainesville Sun in vain. I did for 5 years. In the early days. Well, at least people knew that we existed and there was I didn't have one fish from that. But I gave the Gainesville Sun 5 years worth. Okay? Finally, I had to admit, well, it doesn't say if you want a bigger congregation, advertising the Gainesville Sun. Okay? That's the kind of thing that comes in. And I've become, since the early days of this congregation, less and less concerned about my personal ambition. Because I've discovered a sweeter, purer motive. And the motive is just the one that we try to say all the time. Everything we do is because we want to please him. Everything that we do is because we want to obey him. Okay? I love Yeshua, who then said, if you love me, do nothing. No, if you love me, keep my, which ones? All of them. Well, you know that there's supposedly 613 mitzvot in the Torah? Do you think that Yeshua came up with more than 613 or less? By a lot. Okay. Everybody loves Jesus and he's sweet and he's nice and all that. But he got more mitzvot than the Jews do. Okay, you disagree with me? Talk to A number one, Berean over here. Okay? The answer is, yes, she's correct. There's way more commandments that Yeshua gave than were given, much more mitzvot that were given in the Torah. What I need to do is to solve the problem of maintaining an attitude that is pleasing to him. That's the deal. As servants of Yeshua, we will experience no competition among ourselves if we're motivated by the simple desire just to please the Father. Harmony and mutual concern take the place of striving and self-seeking. And this and more, I only scratched the surface. Just wanted to give you that there are benefits too. And some of these benefits, you don't have to go pay money to go talk to a counselor. I don't have anything against counselors, okay? But look, more is available through us through the knowledge of Yah Adonai our Elohim as our Abba Father. If we have found that Yeshua is the way, which is Haderech, then let's rejoice. But let's not be content to continue forever on the way without arriving at a destination. We have to have a destination. What is a destination? The destination is Yah Adonai our Elohim as Father. To miss this would be to frustrate the very purpose of him sending the Messiah. So in this month that we honor fathers, I want to continue to honor the Father. And next week, we'll celebrate Happy Father's Day. Happy Yah Adonai Elohim, our fathers. Happy Father's Day. In Yeshua's name, amen.